Welcome to Reclaiming Our Canon. I would like to use these next few episodes to talk a lot about the gathering that is coming up at Catholic University on June 15th. The name of this gathering is Redefining Classics, celebrating the diversity within the classical tradition. And I know this title of the gathering has raised some eyebrows. And I would like to use this podcast, after a long pause of doing this podcast, to explain myself. It is so important to me. Everyone understands my heart. If you've been following me on social media and in my writings and even in different podcast interviews as well as blog posts, I try really hard not to present myself as being someone that is being divisive or hurtful, unkind, choosing a side. My only goal is to bring us together. If you are a Christian like myself, I have a really strong passion for bringing racial healing to the Christian or church community. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not a believer, it is my desire to reflect God's unconditional love to the world, and that everything I do is a reflection of that love that Jesus displayed in everyone he related to when he walked to this earth, whether they followed him or not. And so the last thing I wanted to do was to create a gathering. I'm even using the word gathering as opposed to conference. The last thing I wanted to do was create a gathering that made anyone feel alarmed, unwelcomed, or questioned my heart and motivation. So the next few podcasts leading up to the gathering will be talking about this Redefining Classics. I'll talk about the different speakers, what kind of things we'll be doing. And I just really feel like this podcast, so graciously hosted by True North at Classical Academic Press, is the perfect way to give everyone an understanding of the heart behind this gathering. Now, let's talk about why I'm calling it a gathering instead of a conference. I'm calling it a gathering because it's only one day. So this is not your typical conference that happens over a 2 to 3 day period. And every part of this event will feel like gathering. Even though there are speakers, each speaker has been told that they speak for a little bit and then facilitate conversation. Not even in the form of just Q&A, just a relaxed, comfortable, welcoming dialogue, conversation with those who are listening to talk about this gift of the ancients that we call classics that gave birth to the classical tradition. There will also be breaks and pockets of time where people can just grab something to eat. There's a Starbucks right next to the space where we're gathering. So you can grab a snack or a coffee and there's lots of green space. And I'm excited. I get chills even as I talk about it, where you can sit out because it's going to be summertime and just talk with one another about this tradition that has influenced all of our ancestors. So the whole nature of it is gathering, fellowship, a coming together. This is not a space like a conference where you come and you sit and listen to the greatest scholar ever about some part of the classical tradition, and then you go home with your notes and do nothing. Maybe that's a little harsh, that you go home with your notes, think about it for a little while, but then you have so much information overload that you're too paralyzed to do something meaningful with all that you have learned. My hope is that this gathering will inspire, enlighten, and cause us to see people that feel like us. Sometimes, no matter who you are, if you love the classical tradition or a scholar of classics, it is a very isolating place. Maybe I'm wrong. My experience in my life has been that it's kind of lonely out here in my little corner of the world. And when I go to different meetings and gatherings, or even when I just go up to hang out with my friends at Classical Academic Press, I always feel so renewed, so loved, so welcomed. And that warmth I feel in that moment lasts me for quite a while as I head back home to my corner of the world where there's not that many people who see this tradition in the way that I do. When I come back home, I'm usually in a place of the defensive where I'm constantly defending. This is what it is. Here's the proof of what it can do. This is the historic proof of this is what it was. And I'm always in this space of fighting for the tradition. But when I go to conferences and workshops and meetings with people who see this tradition the way I do, I am not in that defensive space. I feel like I can kind of rest. So I felt like if I feel that on this small scale when I go out, maybe we all need that. So my thinking is, if we have this gathering just once a year that's not in competition with other conferences, that's not trying to take on the responsibility of some of these larger classics conferences or classical education conferences, that it's just kind of like this one little moment in a day where all of us can kind of come from our little corners of the world, give each other a hug, love on one another, talk to one another, engage with one another, and even maybe even disagree a little bit with one another as we're trying to come to this place of mutual understanding about this tradition that touches all of us. This is actually what reclaiming our canon is all about. Reclaiming our canon was named to say it is ours. And we must reclaim it in that way. When we read about it in history, as we study how Socrates was always inviting someone to that great conversation, and how oftentimes the ancient writers of Greece and Rome would reference other worlds, other places that saw value in what this tradition means and even contributed to it. They did not hide that from us. When I look at it, I see that diversity. Diversity. There goes that bad word again. I choose to use the word diversity because I think we all can know and understand what it means. I could use the word universal, but I think there might be some ambiguity if I say that. As soon as I say the word diversity, yes, it makes those eyebrows go up. But then I think I can easily explain that it means diversity of thought, diversity of belief, diversity of worldview, diversity of ethnicity, diversity of skin tone. I know we don't like to talk about skin color, but it's here. And it still does affect how we navigate the world, whether we like it or not. So until our world generally overcomes that sad stronghold, I will include it in the conversation. And maybe in these gatherings, we can come to a place of racelessness. And that term racelessness comes from the work of Dr. Sheena Mason out of CUNY. And she has developed this theory of racelessness that I feel like the classical tradition can help us all get to, because it's about us finding those things in this world that help us escape. She calls it the matrix of the color line. And that we focus more on our shared humanity. What better way to do that than to gather together around this warm fire of the classical tradition where we can all see our common humanity? When Mortimer Adler created the great books of Western civilization, and I know there's been a lot of people that have canonized these works, or a lot of entities that have canonized these works. What I love about Mortimer Adler is he gave a very philosophical, even theoretical meaning behind his work. And so it gives me something I can use to explain to people what it is I believe in, what I'm doing. And so He showed how these works from ancient times up to his modern times were in conversation with each other. And he actually cataloged that conversation in the Synopticon. And I've talked about this a lot, but I talk about it over and over till people understand. And he showed how each book is in conversation with whoever came before them. And I think that's exactly why the classics or classics authors reference those from Africa or the Middle East or what have you, because they're doing that great conversation. We in our times have just not included that as part of the great conversation, even though the classics did. It is the process of engaging with those who came before. Okay, if you're a Christian, you know about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. This is such a great illustration of the great conversation. The Ethiopian eunuch was part of this great African civilization that did not just span the little part of East Africa that we know Ethiopia or even Eritrea to be today. That Ethiopian civilization spanned a large part of the continent of Africa. At the time of the Ethiopian eunuch, the leader of Ethiopia was Queen Candace. That's, I think, the more Western way to name her, or Kandeki. The Kandeki were Ethiopian warrior queens that were mighty, and they ruled their civilization. The Ethiopian eunuch was her servant, or like I would almost say, like her executive assistant. And he was sent on an assignment by the Kandeki to go into Israel to learn more about Judaism and this new faith that was starting. So he's in his kind of like chariot. And as he's riding along, this Ethiopian coming from Africa, headed into Roman-occupied Israel, was reading a Hebrew scroll. He was reading the prophets. He was reading the writings of those, the wisdom of those who came before him. Isn't this what the classical tradition is all about? And this story is in our Bible. We learn about a great African warrior queen in that good old book that people say is about racism, is for white people. And the same book that people say supports the inferiority of my ancestors. But I encourage you to read it. If you're listening to me right now, don't just go on what people say. Read the text for yourself. And because the Bible intersects with ancient Greece and Rome, it is part of the classical tradition. And this story of the Ethiopian eunuch is a part of that conversation. The Ethiopian eunuch is sitting there, riding along, reading. That means he knew Hebrew. That means he didn't just know his language. He also knew Hebrew. He's reading the prophets. And as he's riding along, a Jew is walking by who was also a disciple named Philip. Philip was literally taken by the Spirit of God from one place to be right at that point where the Ethiopian eunuch was. And Philip hears the Ethiopian eunuch. This is in the book of Acts, by the way. Philip hears the Ethiopian eunuch reading the prophets, and he engages in a Socratic dialogue with him. Hey, what are you reading? And he reads about this prophet of the Messiah. He tells him, who is this person that I'm reading about in this prophecy? Well, Philip was the man to explain it because Philip had just been with the Messiah. And Philip knew he had risen from the dead. And Philip engages with him about the prophets. That's a New Testament story being in conversation with an Old Testament story. To some, this may feel like a myth, and it could be a myth. And I hope you don't feel offended if I'm telling this story. I share this story not as someone seeking to indoctrinate you, but as someone who believes in the human story and believes that even if everything isn't true, I don't get offended by that, but I can glean some wisdom from that. If you're listening to me tell this story about the Ethiopian eunuch, I hope if you're a Jew and my talk of the Messiah and his resurrection is not offensive, I pray you will listen to it as you would listen to the Odyssey or the Greek and Roman gods and goddesses. And what wisdom can we gain from this, whether you believe it's myth or fact? And that is that whoever wrote these stories, be they true or not, understood that our human existence depends on us, number one, engaging with those who've come before us through reading their writings, and then us continuing that conversation with one another, even if we're from different backgrounds. So here you have in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, a man from the civilization of Ethiopia and a man from the civilization of Israel engaged in conversation, seeking understanding. And so the purpose of redefining classics is to elevate stories like that. We want to elevate those stories of how all of us, even if we're different, different beliefs, different backgrounds, the Hebrew coming from a more patriarchal society, the Ethiopian coming from a more matriarchal society, different worldviews, different skin tones, different cultures, different ethnicities, different civilizations, different languages, different faiths, coming together in conversation about a conversation that started centuries before them. Redefining classics is about once a year, one day in that year, coming together to continue that tradition. Right now, people think, the world believes in the general scope. Yes, there's pockets of us who know what is true. But in the world at large, people think that it is either only about centering the West, elevating the West, embracing the West at the sacrifice of our own heritage. For some, that's hurtful, and so they reject this beautiful tradition. For some, it is empowering, and they're set up as we are the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and anyone who doesn't look like me or agree with that is not welcomed in this space. But redefining classics is seeking to bring us together to create a new definition that doesn't isolate anybody and also doesn't oppress anyone or put anyone down or raise anyone up above someone else. That together, that I'm not creating that definition through my tweets and blogs, that I am inviting you to join me in this space at Catholic University on June 15th. To talk to one another, to collaborate with one another on how can we create a statement that shows what we all believe about this tradition that doesn't marinate in the bitterness of our racist history, but also doesn't ignore that, doesn't ignore how that racist history has caused the tensions we experience in the world and in this field of classics and the classical tradition, that we don't ignore how racism has created this tension. That in facing that head on, we do the work together to heal it and then celebrate that we are all welcome here. So that's what I mean by redefine. I'm not seeking to change classics. I'm not seeking to even expand the canon outside of the theory or the philosophy. And I'm choosing Mortimer Adler because as I've researched him for many years, I don't know the man's heart. I know he was of Jewish heritage. but I don't see racism in the sense of clear of statements where he is saying, you can't come here. Instead, what I see Mortimer Adler doing by creating his theory, his philosophy, is creating a blueprint for us to continue the work he started. We know that he died wanting to do something with the Eastern tradition. Like he was beginning to start thinking about how this great conversation expands across the globe. He did not get to finish. Maybe it's time for us to take up the mantle. That we have the courage of Herodotus, who did not just sit in Greece and write the histories, but traveled all around to every continent he could get to show how this great conversation should happen. Will you join me? I pray you know my heart. I have no political agenda. I find politics so divisive right now. And we all may have our separate ways that we vote, but I would ask that if you come, can you leave that at home? And can you come only as just you, a human being who loves this tradition and who is willing to open up their mind to the possibility that, like Herodotus left Greece, may we all leave our spaces to explore others who have found inspiration in this tradition, and let's gather around that. June 15th, 2024, starting at 10 a.m., meet me at the beautiful campus of Catholic University. No matter who you are, what you believe, how you vote, what you look like, and where you're from. And let's figure out how we can show the world the beauty of this tradition that has touched all of our ancestors.
Your servant, I keep all evil far from me, I pray.
The title of this gathering, Redefining Classics, changed a lot, and I want to explain why. When I was at Johns Hopkins is where this idea was birthed in me, and I expected to be at Johns Hopkins for a long time, and due to budget cuts, five of us lost our position at the Institute for Education Policy there. And that was a hard transition for me because I really loved the work of the Institute. I really loved working with Dr. David Steiner. I found him to be the most gracious human being, and I still love him dearly. And I'm grateful to his encouragement and support as I have transitioned away from there. As a matter of fact, without his encouragement, his support, and even his endorsement in different places, Anika Prather Consulting would have had a hard time getting started. So this is a personal thank you to such a lovely human being that I often felt like he was such a kindred spirit in this work of bringing classical education to diverse populations. But while I was there in this conference, and I first brought this to him and we talked about this conference, the title I struggled with, it was at one point Diverse Voices Elevating the Classical Tradition. And I wrestled with that title because I knew my community in the state that they are in with how they feel about the classical tradition. They would hear that title and say, I'm not going because I'm not elevating anybody's Western tradition. So I really struggled with that. Then it went from elevating to diverse voices embracing the classical tradition. And again, that title didn't address why diverse populations resist the tradition. It just dives right in there and says, hey, come on and embrace this. It didn't address or face some of the controversy around why people resist it. And so before I could continue the conversation on what this conference should be titled, the time for me to leave Johns Hopkins came, and I felt that I needed to just step away and rethink this now that I had a little bit more freedom to talk through what I envisioned this gathering. I keep saying conference by accident. What I was hoping this gathering could be. And I actually wasn't even sure if I would try to do this again. And then Catholic U was willing to continue to support that vision and gave me the freedom to really design it in the way that God had put in my heart. And as I began to rethink it, the word redefining classics came to me. And I knew that people would get fearful when I said it, but I felt that title from the beginning had to be very clear that we acknowledge that there is a wrong definition, that something needs to be addressed, not changed. And I feel like just from the messages I've gotten and how different these people are. Some are way on the right, some are way on the left, some are are of European descent, of African descent, Latino descent, all over. I have found people, when they see that redefining classics, they understand, okay, she's acknowledging that this gathering has to address something that needs to be healed. And so we know that the current definition needs to be redefined in a more truthful way, because there are false narratives surrounding this tradition, and it is hurting the field. And I, for one, don't want to see this field become obsolete because we don't face how racism has created a wrong definition for what this tradition truly is. And so that is how the title was born. And so we need all of you to come join in this conversation. And I'm hoping you don't feel fearful and that you come with a heart of grace, a seeker of peace, a seeker of unity and collaboration as we try to create a definition that the world understands means classics and the classical tradition is for everybody.